You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That was pedestrian. I think it's okay to say that for a change. I don't think any random Tuesday night game against the Brooklyn Nets was going to be one to write home about, but fortunately the Rockets were able to get a win by double digits, ho-hum as it may seem, and keep the machine rolling, now 39-13 on the season and winners of 9 of 10 since the return of James Harden a few weeks ago. On that note, welcome into Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game commentary on your Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the official flagship of the team. As we mentioned, the Rockets 123-113 winners in Brooklyn on Tuesday evening. James Harden led the way, 36 points on 11 of 23 shooting, 10 of 10, perfect at the foul line. Chris Paul, fresh off going plus 47 in the plus minus in 27 minutes Saturday night in Cleveland, that 32-point romp. He finished 25 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, plus 13 in his 33 minutes. Best by far amongst the starters off the bench. There's where you had some real storylines. Gerald Green, in just 18 minutes, was 6 of 8 from the field, 4 of 6 from behind the arc. Eric Gordon returned after missing a couple games from a sore back and showed no ill effects, played 28 minutes, had 13 points, including 5 of 9 from the field. A lot of contributions. About the one down angle, Ryan Anderson left early. It had been a hot streak for Ryan of late. We mentioned how great he was after the Cleveland game, which he had 21 and 8, plus 39 in the plus-minus, and unfortunately, tonight left after 9 minutes with a sprained ankle. We'll see what that means for tomorrow night's game in Miami, back into a back-to-back. We'll talk about all these themes over the next few minutes on our usual 3 points post-game show. To lead off, though, I want to start with the headliner, which is James Harden. Led the team in scoring tonight with 36, but more than that, more than any one game, this was a milestone night for James. Over 15,000 points now in his NBA career, and he's just 28 years old, and then did not even become a starter until late in 2012. So not even 6 years ago, his time as a starter. So to see what he's doing, you extrapolate that. If he's able to stay healthy and his game profiles is one that should allow him to stay effective late into his 30s, assuming he gets health, and boy, it's tough not to feel optimistic, especially when you consider your status as a Houston sports fan in all likelihood, and the fact that James is under contract for such a long time, all the way through the 2022 season with the Rockets after his last extension. But tonight it came at a good time because 11 of 23 from the field, that's following up a night on Saturday in which he was 5 of 16. And I noticed Matt Bullard, the Rockets' lead analyst, said early in the game it looked like that James was still dragging the left leg a little bit. That's the one where, of course, he did have the grade 2 hamstring strain. Kind of miraculous that he's even been playing at all over the past couple of weeks, let alone as well as he had. We're now a week removed from his 60-point triple-double. But if there was any concern that the low efficiency on Saturday night was going to ultimately be reflective of his high workload, given that even though he was able to return, you immediately lost Chris Paul and Eric Gordon to minor injuries. Well, I think this game tonight proved that that was not the case. 11 of 23, 4 of 10 from 3, got to the foul line 10 times. What it looked like to me in Cleveland, when I know they won by 32, but James was just 5 of 16, only got to the foul line 5 times, it looked like a game in which you're, if you're in cruise control throughout, there is no need for James to attack the rim or do anything to risk any kind of contact, injury, whatever it may be. So he went into cruise control. On a night that the Rockets needed it, give the Nets some credit. They're a team 19-36 now, but their differential is less than minus 4. It went into the game at minus 3.8, so that tells you they've had a lot of close losses. They do have, a decent bit of talent on that team. Spencer Dinwiddie, Damari Carroll, Allen Crabbe, all played relatively well tonight. Jahlil Okafor and Russell off the bench, two of the more highly regarded young prospects in the past few years on the NBA, although certainly some of the shine has come off in recent days. But the Nets came out, they were a game opponent tonight. Say what you will about the record, but as I said, the point differential shows you that they have a lot of close losses, they do have some young talent, they kind of have that. I like Brandon B. Nowen, one of the more underrated fellows on Houston sports Twitter, called it the great value Rockets because of how they play the same scheme and how annoying it was from a Rockets perspective to see that many threes and layups, refusing to take inefficient shots. And boy, the Nets tonight shot 46% from behind the arc, 5 of 8 from Damari Carroll, 5 of 7 from Dinwiddie, D'Angelo Russell off the bench, 2 of 2. It's tough to shoot 45%, or excuse me, that looking at his free throws, D'Angelo was 0 of 3. But yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie and Damari Carroll, a combined 10 of 15. And as I said, 46% overall. It's tough to do that against air. I thought in the first quarter, the Rockets defense was a little bit lethargic, but ultimately, the Nets ended up making some tough shots, and the Rockets needed James Harden to step up, and he did that in the second half. I know his plus-minus differential was not great, but he made buckets at key points in the second half when the Rockets needed to get some separation. And late in the game, the Nets would not go away. The Rockets pushed it to 16. The Nets were able to cut it to 6 with barely over a couple of minutes left. This was still a game, and James answered down the stretch, was able to take on the workload. And if there were any doubts whatsoever about James after a 5 of 16 relative off night, I use off night in air quotes because the Rockets won by 32, then I think he answered them in Brooklyn by not just leading the team in scoring, 36 points, but doing so fairly efficiently, nearly 50% from the field, 40% from behind the arc, 100% from the free throw line. Those are the percentages that you're looking for, and ultimately on a milestone night for him, again past the 15,000 point mark for his NBA career, and I think clearly now tracking to get over 30,000, which would put him amongst the league's all-time greats. It's certainly a Hall of Fame career, and it's fitting that he sets that milestone this year, in which he is clearly the league's MVP frontrunner. So there's a lot of other storylines that we can look at in this game, but I want to start with giving James his due, because Saturday he was kind of an afterthought with how brilliant Chris Paul was, and then we mentioned Ryan Anderson, 21-8, plus 39. The Rockets needed more from James tonight, and they got it, and perhaps it was fitting that he led the team in scoring on a day that was a milestone for him in his career. Now, for the Rockets, you win by 10 against a Brooklyn team that's now 19-36. Is it an especially great win? No, but that's okay, because you're in a stretch now. The Rockets came off back-to-back wins at San Antonio and at Cleveland, in which they were on the road, played fantastic on both ends of the court, won by double figures, including 32 on the back half in Cleveland. And then you have a tough game tomorrow night at Miami on the second half of back-to-back, going from Brooklyn to Miami, probably getting into the hotel at 3 or 4 a.m., one of the more brutal back-to-backs you can have. This was one of those 1 out of 82 random nights where, especially on the road, it can jump up and bite you. We have seen even teams like the Warriors succumb to this from time to time. So for the Warriors to, or for the Rockets, excuse me, to step up and get a win tonight led by James Harden, I'm not going to tell you guys that's anything brilliant, because it's not, but what it does is it keeps the momentum going, it keeps the good vibes. Now 39-13 on the year, and 9 of 10 since the return of James Harden, who, as we said, led the way, 36 points, including passing the 15,000 point mark for his career. Now a lot of you may be wondering, Ben, why are we talking so much about offense when you've led so many of your shows the past few days about the team's defense? And as we said, those games in San Antonio and in Cleveland, they held the opponent to below 40 points in the first half and essentially suffocated them, took the life out of the crowd early. Well, we haven't talked about defense tonight because, well, it wasn't good. The Nets scored 63 points in the first half. It was only a two-point game at the break. That played a role in the Nets getting some confidence. We mentioned their three shooting almost 47% from the field. Now, credit to the Rockets, they shot over 48%, so the Rockets did match them offensively. But the defensive intensity for the Rockets, I did think it got better throughout the game. They held the Nets to 50 points in the second half, and the only reason the Nets even got to 50 was because the Rockets pushed it up to 16 with about 5 minutes left, and then you could feel the legs kind of start to go a little bit, the Rockets trying to conserve energy as best they can for what's going to be a tough back-to-back tomorrow night in Miami. If there's one thing I would nitpick, I would say in the first quarter, the rim protection was not especially good. Now, for the game, Clint Capella ended up having a banner night, 18 points, 11 boards, 8 of 12 shooting in his 32 minutes. But between Clint and A early on, also Clint had 4 blocks. But early in the game, I just thought everything from the interior defense to the guys like Chris Paul and James Harden on the perimeter was not really where it should be. And I think that's a reflection of a lot of things. It's, as I said, more than anything else, it's 1 of 82. The last two games, those were statement games. Now you're on a back-to-back. Everyone knows going in that it's important to conserve energy, and I think the Rockets thought, perhaps correctly, that this was a game that they could win, not going all out. But ultimately, I think that's why the Nets scored 113 points. That's why this thing was a game. The Nets led by 4 with just over 3 minutes left in the third quarter, and salute to the Nets for playing hard, but I think it's one of those things. You have a young team. We mentioned Russell, Okafor, Dinwiddie, a lot of the younger talented pieces on that team. You let them get going early, get a few too many easy buckets, and then all of a sudden it can snowball. And I think that's what happened for the Rockets in the middle part of this game. They played with fire a little bit. But the good news for the Rockets is that they did not get rattled. The defense, say what you will, I tend to think it's just a 1 out of 82 one-off. Now, we'll see what happens tomorrow night. Don't necessarily know that a back-to-back Brooklyn to Miami is a fair judgment, especially without Trevor Ariza and could be without Ryan Anderson. We'll have to wait and see what the situation is with his sprained right ankle. But regardless, I'm not going to come off a stretch in which the Rockets in the first 9 games since James Harden's return were top 5 in the league in defense, 2 games in a row at San Antonio and Cleveland, 2 banner franchises in which the Rockets held them below 40 points in the first half, and then all of a sudden jump off the bandwagon and say, well, all of that was fool's gold because of one half against the Nets. No, I think it's a classic 1 out of 82, and credit to the Rockets for surviving it. So I think it's sort of fitting. I would say in the Spurs game, to some extent, the defense kind of picked up for the offense being lethargic, especially Chris Paul, who returned that game, but until very late was almost a non-factor offensively. Said after the game he was too protective of his groin, wasn't really cutting it loose. In this game, the offense offset the defense, and that's what you need to do from time to time. We mentioned James Harden leading the way in scoring, but Chris Paul, ridiculously efficient, 25, 8, and 5 was his stat line, but shooting-wise, 9 of 15 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3. He's now shooting over 41% from 3 on the year, which is absolutely ridiculous when you consider he's doing it on a career-high volume in Mike D'Antoni's 3-happy system here. And then we mentioned earlier off the bench, Gerald Green, 6 of 8, 4 of 6, and then from 3, and Eric Gordon in his first game back after missing nearly 3 consecutive games with a sore back, 13 points, 2 rebounds, 5 of 9 from the field, seemed to be pretty spry. PJ Tucker hit a big 3 in this game as well, one of only 2 he took, but as we said, in general, the Rockets shot very well, 16 of 33 from behind the arc, almost 49%. That will do it in any game. But in general, I would say the theme was the offense picking up the defense, and I think that's good. You're going to need to do that from time to time, because when you're a team like the Rockets, in addition to, you know, a kind of a schedule factor where you've got a tough back-to-back on the road, also, when you're as good as the Rockets are now, 39 and 13, and today ranked number 1 in the ESPN power rankings, people notice what the Rockets are doing. This is an incredibly respected team. You're going to get everybody's best shot in much the same way that the Warriors do. So you've got to respond, and if your defense is a little lethargic a given night, you need to pick it up offensively. They did tonight, and if your offense is a little sluggish, like it was for portions of that San Antonio game, then you need to be able to pick it up on the defensive end. So I think it's encouraging the Rockets did that, but also in addition to, as I said, the balance offense versus defense. It was defense over the past few days. Today it was offense. More than that, I like how the Rockets responded in the game. They got off to a decent start in the first quarter, led for much of the first half. Actually, did not trail, I believe, 15-13 was the last Brooklyn lead. And then all of a sudden, midway through the third, they bumped it up. And on a wild 33-foot step-back three from Spencer Dinwiddie, all of a sudden had a 4-point lead with just over 15 minutes left in the game. Folks, I know it's not exactly one of the NBA's more feared environments, but when the Rockets are there, you're going to sell a lot of tickets, and those fans were buying in. You could see the confidence growing, and the Rockets responded immediately with a 23-6 run. Of course, they made a lot of shots. That's when Eric Gordon and Gerald Green hit a number of theirs. That bench unit, that was big. But I would say also holding the Nets after that to just 6 points over the next 5 or 6 minutes of the game, even if the Rockets' defensive effort was not there for the game as a whole, it was there in the defining sequence when it really felt like, okay, is this a dangerous game? The Rockets showed you that they had that gear still in them defensively to crank it up. And as we said, a 23-6 run over the next 5 minutes. Now, I'm not going to say the Rockets get an unlimited pass defensively. All I'm saying is that I would not panic overly over the defensive performance tonight. The 103 points the Brooklyn Nets scored, I would say, a confluence of a lot of factors. They shot the ball well. Salute to them. They're more talented than record might indicate, as we mentioned, by the point differential. There's some quality young players that made shots. Also, for the Rockets, coming off 2 emotional games, statement games at San Antonio, at Cleveland, middle of a back-to-back, just 5 games now until the All-Star break. Trevor Ariza still out injured. Now Ryan Anderson. There's a lot of extenuating circumstances. So I would not worry about the defense too much at this point, especially when, in the stretch that mattered, they were able to turn up defensively and hold the Nets to just about 6 points over the next 5 minutes of the game, as the offense was able to establish control and go on that 23-6 run to turn what was a 4-point deficit into a 13-point lead. Overall, not a banner night for the defense, but that's okay because the offense picked them up, and that's what great teams do. If one side of the ball is not clicking, if you have to compensate on the other side, then that's fine. And more than that, I think what great veteran teams do, they close quarters well, which is something we saw in the first half when they were able to suddenly bump it up to 7 after the first quarter, and even though it got a little close by the half, at the same time, late in the third, early in the fourth, that second unit did its job on both ends of the court, and even if the defense wasn't there for the entire game, it was there in a key stretch, and between the way the Rockets responded in the game and the way the defense in that particular segment responded, folks, I'm not that worried about a game that to me is 1 out of 82. Overall, it's 1. I think you gladly take the double-digit win and move on to the next one, which is going to be a very tough one in Miami on the back half of a back-to-back tomorrow night. Now, for the final segment of our 3 points recap, I want to address the one unfortunate thing that happened tonight, which is the right ankle sprain for Ryan Anderson. My opinion is that it's probably not new. I've noticed, and I pointed out on Twitter a couple of times in the past 2 weeks, there have been a number of games in which I've seen him leave the court during the game, well, on the bench, but then leaving the bench to go either to the locker room or back to the tunnel. That's only for a minute or two, and if it was an isolated incident, then you can say, yeah, he just needed a bathroom break. They all do that from time to time. But for it to happen repeatedly, it makes you wonder if there's some sort of minor taping job, something like that that's going on. And while I don't have that confirmed at this point, I'm going to say that's highly likely with an ankle sprain that ultimately forced him out of tonight's game in Brooklyn after just 9 minutes. That may be part of the reason he didn't return. The Rockets did not need him. They were able to get a win by double digits, despite Ryan playing just 9 minutes. But it does come at an unfortunate time because Ryan had been playing very well. We mentioned his last 3 games, really his last 3.5, because it started the second half of the Phoenix game after Trevor Ariza went out. He had been shooting almost 60% from the field and 60% from behind the arc. Saturday night, he was getting more confident than he had been in a long time. 5 of 9 from behind the arc. The 9 attempts says a lot, as you probably heard on my post, on my off day show, yesterday with Craig Ackerman. If you haven't heard that, you can check that out in our Lockdown Rockets archives. But Ryan, after being in a deep freeze for 25 games, basically a third of the season, he had really started to get some traction. It comes as an unfortunate time. Hopefully it's minor. The encouraging thing I would say, the Rockets initially said he was probable to return. That's not something you see when a guy is severely injured. In most cases, they know to at least call it questionable, if not out. For example, the James Harden and Trevor Ariza hamstrings, Harden initially ruled out, Ariza initially ruled questionable. For them to say a guy's probable to return tells you it's something they're not especially worried about, and it might be something minor that he's been dealing with for some time, and a lot of these guys are just hoping to get to the All-Star break, which is just over a week away. You basically get 10 days off, and then at that point, you can hopefully let some of these minor things heal up. Well, I guess I shouldn't say you get 10 days off. It's more like 8 days off. But either way, when you get at least a week, when you have a minor ankle sprain, something like that, it's amazing what staying off your feet for a few days can do. And no, at this point, I know the Rockets are always open to moving Ryan Anderson. It's something long-term. We've discussed the trade equation there. If you could potentially get better, more movable contracts down the line, would they have to consider it, given what we know they're interested in with LeBron this summer? Sure, they have to consider it, but no, I don't think tonight's situation was about that. I think it was about just, he was wincing. Craig and Matt saw it during the game, and as I've said, I've seen it for a couple of weeks. Couldn't necessarily see him limping, but he had left the court enough during game action to make me think that it's something other than he just needs to go to the bathroom far too often or way more than regular players. So I'm going to say it's a legit injury. We'll see if he plays tomorrow night in Miami. I would be a little bit surprised. Now, maybe we heard from Matt Buller during the game that maybe they were thinking they could save him for that game, but personally, when you're coming off maybe 4 to 5 hours sleep for most of these guys, there's been so many studies that shows, you know, when you're not getting your sleep, that makes you more prone to injuries. I don't know if that's a situation where they want to push it. Now, maybe given that Ryan's game is not especially dependent on athleticism, maybe you try and buy 10 or 15 minutes because you know Ariza is still out with the hamstring. But either way, I would be surprised if Ryan is a major contributor tomorrow. I think hopefully by this weekend, if it's a minor sprain, and I'm confident it's fairly minor since they initially ruled him probable, and I think he's been playing through it for some time. But short term, tomorrow, whether he plays a little bit or whether he's out altogether, the bottom line is you're going to need more from Gerald Green because he's your hedge. And that's the really good thing I saw tonight. Certainly, it's not as flashy as James Harden, 36 points, game high, Chris Paul, 25 points on laser efficient, 9 of 15 from the field. Clint Capella, 18, 11, and 4, 8 of 12, a monster in the middle in a matchup where you needed him to dominate. He did. But folks, Gerald Green and to a lesser extent Eric Gordon coming off the back injury, that's what you need if Ryan's going to be out, if anyone's going to be out, because with Ryan and Trevor both, I don't want to say both out, we're still waiting to hear what the status of Ryan is, but we know Trevor's out, so I would say definitely compromise with at least one guy out, and I would say probably one and a half, your best case scenario. You're going to need to fill minutes, and with the way the Rockets play, you don't have to have a prototype four to fill in for Ryan, just like you don't have to have a prototype three for Trevor Ariza. You can slide up P.J. Tucker, who played 34 minutes tonight in Brooklyn, Luke Bamute, who played 37 and actually made two of his four threes, had 8.7 rebounds and was his usual efficient self defensively, very flexible guarding a number of different guys. But with the Rockets, how this translates to the injuries, you're not necessarily looking to, okay, Ryan's out, Trevor's out, you're going to replace someone that plays the exact same way, the exact same body type. No, they'll slide guys around because we know how flexible and versatile Mike D'Antoni's system is. So what you need are guys you can trust, regardless of exactly what their skill set is. And the two veterans on that bench that you have not had enough lately are Eric Gordon, who simply has not played in nearly three games with the sore back. Very encouraging to see him go 5 of 9. I didn't see him especially limited in terms of his explosiveness or anything else. But Gerald Green especially, I love what I saw from him. 4 of 6 from behind the arc, 6 of 8 overall, 16 points in his 18 minutes, was a plus 18, a team best plus 18 in those 18 minutes. And why that's such a big deal to me, it comes off a game in which he made 4 threes, shot 40% from behind the arc in Cleveland. And that's so big because basically the 3 weeks before that, he partially fell out of the rotation after the Rockets got all their pieces back. And even when he did play from January 12th, that was a Friday night game in Phoenix, all the way through the Spurs game last Thursday, there had been 10 Rockets games overall. 4 of them he didn't play, although 2 of them were due to the suspension. And 2 of them he just racked up a DNP CD. 1, he got some garbage time in Dallas. So either he didn't play because he fell out of the rotation, but when he did play, he shot just 22% from 3 and 28% overall. And I think what happened, I had a show last month with Matt Bullard in which Matt essentially said he was expecting some regression to the mean from Gerald Green after he started off so hot from behind the arc, and they were just hoping that the Rockets would get James Harden, Luke Bamute, all their pieces back to offset that. Well, thankfully, that has happened and then some. But the reason, besides just raw numbers, that Matt was expecting that, and I agreed with him, was because Gerald, coming off the shelf, he's basically playing one-on-one in his driveway with his dogs. This is a guy who essentially had not really played competitive ball since training camp, had 2 months off, and then was suddenly thrust into a role in which they had him playing 25 to 30 minutes with regularity. So it was like stepping into high leverage, high pressure minutes without even having the training camp to scale up. So it was natural for those legs to kind of say, hey, you're doing too much too fast, and to start to go a little bit. And I think that's what happened. Early on, we even saw some alley-oops. That's something that Gerald's been known for. We all know his dunk contest history, and he wasn't even finishing on the alley-oops. I think that reflects how suddenly and how difficult it is, no matter how well you keep yourself in shape, to go from not playing NBA games to suddenly playing 30 minutes a night in very high-pressure situations, one of the league's better teams, without even a training camp to scale yourself up. So part of it, you know, it was tough to get him minutes anyway with everyone healthy. And part of it, I think, is just the natural fatigue, just his unique situation. But it was a confluence of factors, but Gerald was not good. You can put a lot, but that's 10 games in which really he did not come to play on a regular basis. And so that's why it's so great to see these last two games, him step up. We mentioned 4 threes, 40% behind the arc in Cleveland, and then 4 of 6 tonight, 6 of 18 overall, 18 points in 18 minutes. It's just two games, but there's signs of life, and maybe it comes at a good time because the Rockets have had a lot of off days before this game, hadn't played since Saturday. Maybe there's also a little bit of rust when it came to the team's lethargic start defensively as well. There's always a kind of a rest versus rust thing that goes into these dynamics. Perhaps that's a, you know, an explanation for the Rockets giving up 63 points in the first half as well. But with Gerald in general, I think you're seeing the start of those legs get to where they'd normally be for a player coming off of training camp. Essentially, that's what it's been. So I think a lot of the low percentages, not saying you can expect him to be what he was tonight or the insane percentages he was the first week or two that he was in Houston. That's obviously not sustainable, but he's also a lot better than he's been in the prior 10 games before Cleveland and before tonight in Brooklyn. And it comes at a really good time because with Ariza still out at least one more game, I think they're going to reevaluate his status when they get back home to start a, well, they do have one road game at Minnesota, but it's three of their final four are at home before the All-Star break, starting Friday night against the Nuggets. They'll reevaluate Ariza then, but with Ariza being 32 and the Rockets being as good as they are, certainly they're not going to rush him back. And with Ryan Anderson in the ankle, I think that's still a work in progress. Did just get some comments before we close out the show. D'Antoni, two reporters, said that Ryan probably could have played. He's icing. Shouldn't be a problem. Now, tomorrow night it might be a problem, but it's not long-term at all. I think that's referring to the swelling. We'll see exactly how he feels. It seems like it's probably turned a little bit more tonight. We'll see how it does after the plane flight we mentioned. Not getting a full night's sleep. That's kind of a dicey situation when you're dealing with injuries no matter what. So they might play it safe, but certainly not a long-term thing. But short-term, when you're where the Rockets are, 39-13, just one game back of the Warriors, and maybe even tied the Warriors in just a little bit, play the Thunder, coming off four straight losses, so there's definitely a high sense of urgency for them to get a win. We'll see if they can do that. But potentially, you could be tied after tonight in the loss column. Worst case, down one with the tiebreaker. So the Rockets, you're in a situation where every game counts. So if you're going to miss guys like Ariza, Ryan Anderson, even if it's short-term things, you need guys who are able to step in. Eric Gordon, him being back, that's key. But honestly, that's key no matter what. Eric's one of those indispensable pieces long-term. You've got to get him right. And it's a good first step for him. 28 minutes, 13 points, 5 of 9. But in terms of surviving injuries, what you need are guys that are not in your normal rotation to potentially bolster you down the stretch of the year. And maybe if Gerald continues to play like this, it also, if you have a nagging injury, another one, say to Eric Gordon or anyone else, we can also throw Luke Bamute, PJ Tucker in that mix, because we mentioned how flexible the Rockets are with these wing positions, then maybe Gerald playing like this, if it continues, I know it's just two games, but I think there's kind of a correlation with him getting his legs back after a period of inactivity and then all the sudden minutes that he was thrust into, maybe it makes the Rockets a little more cautious with some of their regulars down the stretch of this year, because certainly the Rockets are going to have to balance and walk a very fine line. They want to go after the one seed, but at the same time, you also want to put your best foot forward in the playoffs. So you want to be able to try and win every game as best you can, but you also want to make sure that you're not going to have Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza, Luke Bamute, any name you can throw out there playing through minor injuries if they might get significantly better by resting for a game or two. So the best ticket to make Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets brass comfortable with those scenarios and resting guys if they need it, not just maintenance games, but what I mean rest, like for example, Ryan Anderson with a sprained ankle, to make sure you nip it in the bud rather than let it linger. And I think having Gerald, someone outside of the rotation, step up is a huge positive development towards that. Again, it's just two games, but I'm seeing signs of life. It just looks like he's playing more freely in general. He's got a little more lift. We'll have to see tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a test for everyone. Back half of a back-to-back in Miami. Probably won't arrive until 3 a.m. or so. But for now, I think that's where Gerald's role comes in. That's why he's still very important, even though he did get some DNP CD games in there. And that's why the buyout market's important, as we've talked about a lot over the past week with the deadline coming up on Thursday. And we'll see the buyout picture come into focus shortly after that. That's why that's important, because even these guys like Gerald, if they're not in your rotation in the playoffs, they're still big parts of the team that goes down the stretch of this year and ultimately gives you a chance to take the number one seed against the Warriors, because they help you win games and they also help keep those veterans as fresh as they possibly can be as they get ready for what we hope is a very extended playoff run. So on that note, I feel like that's a good place to leave off. Also, trying to make this as brief as I can because I'm watching my Missouri Tigers now playing Ole Miss, up 6 with 15 minutes left in the game. So I'm going to try and get back to that. Hopefully I don't jinx them. If I do, I guess it's my own fault. But with all that said, it's enough for one night, because we'll have a show less than 24 hours from now because the Rockets have another early East Coast game tomorrow night against the Miami Heat. So until then, if you want to keep up with me, the best place to do that is on Twitter. I'm at Ben Dubose. The show is at Locked On Rockets. Also, Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, LockedOnRockets.com, and LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. That's our email address. All of those ways are good avenues that you can get a hold of me and ask any questions about the team. Also, potential advertising inquiries for this show. Anything you can do to reach out to this Rockets community or learn more about the team, I would be happy to help you with. And if you're not able to advertise, I always urge you to subscribe to our show if you aren't already and leave a 5-star review, because that's how we're able to remain viable to advertisers and continue bringing the show as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering the Houston Rockets. So once again, the happy final from Brooklyn, Rockets 123, Nets 113. The Rockets are now 39-13 on the year and have won 9 of 10 since the return of James Harden from that grade 2 hamstring strain. Back in action tomorrow night against the Heat in Miami, and we'll be talking again with you guys then. For now, folks, have a good evening.